are back. Going to get into it, just telling everybody about our trip to Vegas. That was a lot of fun. Pip and I are still almost friends. So No, we're not. I'm lying.
No, we're not at all.
So the Supreme Court had a case that I found very interesting about gerrymandering. If you don't know what gerrymandering is, that's when our politicians, whoever is in charge, Republicans or Democrats, get to put the state in whatever districts they want. It's not done geography has nothing to do with it. It's just pretty much they can do it. Gerrymandering is they can do it to the most advantageous way to them. And obviously some citizens don't like that.
Right.
So, because you're not really getting represented by your government then. So there was a case before the Supreme Court, and this, as soon as I fucking find it, is what happened. Hold on. Here we go. Where the fuck are you? There we go.
I'm right here.
Not you. It's not always about you.
Sorry.
It's used to being yelled at.
Two Supreme Court decisions dropping on the last day of the term, sure to impact who's representing you in Congress. The conservative justices led by Chief Justice John Roberts ruling that courts cannot decide when politicians have drawn congressional or state legislative district lines to gain political advantage. Partisan gerrymandering claims present political questions beyond the reach of the federal courts. Federal judges have no license to reallocate political power between the two major political parties. The decision will even place any challenged maps across the country. Opponents contend many districts have been drawn carefully and often nonsensically in odd shapes to favor one party over another. Right now, that means Republicans have the advantage. The GOP currently controls both the governorship and the legislature in 22 states. Democrats control just 14. And when results from the 2020 census roll around, the party in power will pick how district lines are drawn.
What that means is that all of these seats in both the U.S. House and in these state houses are going to be about the primary, where the candidate who's going to win is going to be the one who can run furthest to the base of the party, and less about the general election and about trying to actually be a moderate and trying to compromise.
Justice Elena Kagan wrote the dissent for the liberals, remarking with deep sadness that the practices challenged in these cases imperil our system of government. None is more important than free and fair elections. While the Chief Justice sided with conservatives on partisan gerrymandering.
Okay, and Kagan went on to say gerrymandering is, as so many justices emphasized before, anti-democratic in the most profound sense. Of all times to abandon the court's duty to declare the law, this was not the one, Kagan said. The practices challenged in these cases imperil our system of government. Part of the court's role in that system is to defend its foundations. None is more important than free and fair elections. With respect, but deep sadness, I dissent. The ruling was a massive blow to former Attorney General Eric Holder, who has led an effort with fundraising help from former President Barack Obama to fight GOP-drawn district maps. Holder said in a statement that the court's decision tears at the fabric of our democracy and puts the interests of the established few above the many. History will not be kind in its assessment of the ways in which the court has undermined voting rights and core democratic principles in America, Holder said. Roberts said he believes this ruling does not mean there cannot be limits on partisan gerrymandering. Our conclusion does not condone excessive partisan gerrymandering, he wrote, nor does our conclusion condemn complaints about districting, to echo into a void. The states, for example, are actively addressing the issue on a number of fronts. Allison Riggs of the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, who argued against the maps before the court, said in a statement on Thursday that the decision is obviously a deeply disappointing outcome. Riggs pointed out that Republicans won 53% of the vote in the 2016 election, but they also won 10 of the state's 13 congressional seats. So you got 53%, you wouldn't expect it to be 10 to 3 in the House,
right?
And their state government, you expect it to be a little bit closer,
right?
Maybe 8-5 or something like that in favor of the Republicans,
sure,
but certainly a lot more balanced. Riggs had warned the justices that if they don't step in now, the use of politics will only get worse as map drawers rely increasingly on redistricting software that has become more sophisticated, adding that studies show the ideological gap between Democrats and Republicans in Congress is larger than before. The other case, Lamone versus Benisac, came from Maryland. A lower court had blocked the map, holding that individuals in the district were retaliated against based on how they had voted in the violation of the First Amendment. This case was brought by 7 Republican voters who argued that then-Democratic Governor Martin O'Malley who was overseeing the redistricting process, took particular aim at the state's 6th congressional district. Their lawyer, Michael Kimberly, also expressed disappointment with the court's ruling, saying in a statement on Thursday that it is simply wrong to say that judging partisan gerrymanders is beyond the competence of federal courts. Partisan gerrymandering imperils our democracy. Its goal is to insulate those in power from accountability to the voting public. Nothing can be more undemocratic. We can't stand by idly and allow gerrymandering to continue, and we won't, Kimberly said in the statement. The lawyer had argued in court papers that map drawers methodically dismantled the 6th district, breaking apart large swaths of territory dominated by rural Republicans and replacing them with smaller, densely populated areas dominated by suburban Democrats. The officials targeted about 66,000 Republicans in the district and added some 24,000 Democratic voters, therefore swinging the district according to court documents. So I do not agree with the Supreme Court's decision.
Right.
Well, the decision was they conclude that the partisan gerrymandering claims present political questions beyond the reach of the federal courts.
Right.
They also said federal judges have no license to reallocate power, political power between the two major political parties, with no plausible grant of the authority in the Constitution, stating that
that's the way Roberts is reading it,
and no legal standards to limit and direct their decisions. It also, you know, it basically what it is that whatever political party is in power, they'll just change it around anyway. So it's like, you know, if the Democrats win, it's all going to be.
But that shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. I mean, just because somebody's in power, it should not get to mean that hey, one year you vote in this district, the next year you vote in another one because a new political power came to be.
Well, is there a thing that the judicial wing shouldn't be judging on that level, on that issue?
But that's what they're there for. They're a referee. They're the referee. And this has to do with a fundamental right of voting. I mean, if they're not going to weigh in on voting and how we do that, then what are we left with?
Yeah, I mean, we can't just let them, I mean, either party just decide.
Well, that's why I read examples from both parties.
Yeah.
I mean, the Republican, I think this happens a lot with the Republicans. Like, and I'll use President Trump just to go with, if a Democrat was doing the shit that Trump was doing, they'd be screaming their heads off. And now what's happened is we've laid the groundwork so you might get a Democrat doing this exact shit and you're going to be really pissed off when it happens, whereas being somebody like me, just for example, is like, I'm pissed off when it happens left or right.
Well,
the consensus
is that if that you're going to stand by that, that's going to be the price you're going to have to pay. You know, from the
right,
from
but
a Republican standpoint.
But once
now.
The Supreme Court weighs in, there's nothing that can really be done. Because if the states are controlled by Republicans, for instance,
right.
Why would they make it more equitable to Democrats? And vice versa. If a state's controlled by Democrats, why would they make it more beneficial for Republicans? They have no interest. So once you have power, it's that much harder to lose it now.
On the local level, they're just always going to be, he got a bigger piece of cake. No, he got a bigger piece of cake. I mean, this ridiculous, you know, fighting back and forth.
Yeah, from what I have been, the takeaway I've been getting from this is that you mentioned the local level. I believe the Supreme Court feels that the lower level courts in the local, you know, their local should
no, be judging. No. Mm-hmm. No, what the Supreme Court is saying, you have a remedy, but it's the states.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't appeal to federal courts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So all those are thrown away.
But he's saying the state court.
Right, but if the states are controlled by one party, why would they make it more equitable for the other party?
Mm-hmm.
There's no referee anymore. No unbiased referee.
Well, that's saying that we think that the state courts, the state Supreme Courts, are biased. And they're not supposed to be.
But
you
they
know?
Are.
But we're...
The state legislatures are the ones that make the fucking laws.
Right.
So
right.
They're the ones who do the districting. So if you already have it in your favor, you can't bring a cause of action against it.
No, if the law is that they're allowed to do this gerrymandering and then somebody brings it up to the Supreme Court, challenges the law, that's where it's supposed to be argued.
And I think maybe the Supreme Court is saying is that, look, in the state courts, it's a state issue. It's not a federal issue.
But it affects federal elections as well.
I think it's a federal
issue. Because it affects Congress.
Yeah.
Which is federal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just on the state level. This is the same court with now Kasich and – not Kasich. What's it? Gorsuch and fucking Kavanaugh. but those two have been added. But the Roberts Court is the same one that gave us Citizens United, mm-hmm. which said, you know, companies can put in as much money as they want into elections because they're people too. You combine the you can do whatever you want with the gerrymandering with the Citizens United. I can't believe that this is what the founders wanted as a representative democracy.
No. I mean, I also do not agree with the whole judgment that corporations are should be treated as individuals.
Right, but, and that's very kind of, and you and we've screamed about it on this show. We all think it was a horrible decision.
Horrible.
This is right up there.
It is.
You're taking power away from the people.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the thing that this was ever even allowed, oh, we're going to just like cherry pick.
It's been going on forever.
Yeah.
It never should have been allowed.
The cherry pick the districts. That's it is undemocratic.
So you take those two decisions. You take this decision on gerrymandering. You take Citizens United. You add to that the president's denial of Russian interference and Congress's unwillingness to enact laws to do more to protect these coming elections, which are a year away, from future interference. I mean, how can American citizens be confident that election results will truly be indicative of the will of the people? I don't think you can anymore.
Well, first of all, the Russian interference, if any, was so minimal.
That's not been determined.
Well, but it's obviously you had a candidate who assumed she was going to be president and did not go to the key states that she wanted. And
no, that's
not
a part of it.
Key,
that's
but,
part of
but,
it. We've
but,
been over
but,
this.
But yeah, we have been over this. But the whole thing that the Russians, you know, had a big part in this. It basically it was very.
But any part. Forget about big, little. They shouldn't have any part. And every American should be outraged, whether it's Russia or, as the president likes to say, Norway or Israel or Canada. Every American should be outraged. All the people in government should be doing everything to protect us from this.
Why we're not doing more to protect the election?
When every intelligence agency has told you they did it before and they're better at it and they're coming for us again, along with Iran and China. They're all coming, and the Congress won't enact anything. So how can you really believe any election? Combine that with Citizens United and the gerrymandering. I think we're getting to the point where we're going to have a point where you're not going to have a peaceful transfer of power. We're getting dangerously close to that, where people are just going to be like, fuck it. It's all broken. You can't rely on the courts. The Congress doesn't want to do anything. Whoever the president is doesn't give a shit, whether it's Trump or the next guy or gal, whoever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
If nothing happens, people aren't going to believe in these elections. You think if Trump loses and it's close, he's going to fucking go out peacefully? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think even if it's a blowout, he's going to bitch and moan. I think it could be Reagan in 84.
He's going to bitch and moan no matter what happens. It's Trump.
I understand that,
yeah.
but we're losing all the things that would keep that type of personality in check.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, and this time it's Trump, and you know, you're fine with it. Next time maybe it's President Kamala Harris, and she fucking obliterates fucking power, and we create a new awful norm. You're not going to be happy with it. You know, the court really did the people wrong on this.
On that, you know, like I said, with their remedy on that, I think they're saying that you need to keep a local on this.
But it's not local. Congress is not local. It's federal, and it's affecting federal. It's not just the states.
Still, it's the areas where they feel that the judges, the courts, and those areas should be making.
In Mississippi, I believe. African Americans are 33% of the population. They have all the African Americans because of gerrymandering are in one fucking district. I mean,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I mean, it's just fucking ridiculous. You know, if all of a sudden you were in a, and also it's not good for they've said what's going to happen now is the left and the right are going to run to their bases because they no longer have to play in the middle because none of these districts, I think they said like only 20% of the districts in the country are really up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, it's either left or right. So now what you're going to get is you're going to get everybody playing to the far left and to the far right. All the shit you hate about the left and you like to stereotype, that's what's going to get in power. All the shit I hate about the wing nuts on the right and some of the wing nuts on the right that you hate, that's going to get in power because they don't have to play to the fucking middle anymore. They don't have to do common sense. They just have to play to the most extreme parts of the party. And that's what this allows.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have more of Congress not doing shit. More not compromising.
There's no way for them to...
There's no reason.
Well, there's
no reward.
No way for to compromise or to work together.
So you're going to see democracy in this country crumble.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're shaking your head. But why? If you're running, if you're a Republican and you have a 90% Republican district and you know they're far right, why the hell would you ever work with the left? Why?
Because it gets to a point where people are seeing things aren't getting done, and they want people to work with each other, and then they'll
but those people have no power. There is a point where things aren't getting done, but they have there's no power.
What, they can't vote? They can't vote you out.
Not if every district is so far right and far left because all the moderates are huddled in one little fucking district. They got no power. They're taking away our power. They're taking away the people who just want them to work together. Because I got news for you, Joe. The far right doesn't want you to work together, and the far left doesn't want you to work together. The far left wants, for sake of argument, open borders. The far right wants a fucking big wall. There's no fucking compromise there. Mm. There, you don't get sensible immigration reform from those two fucking factions. And if those are the factions that get rewarded, the wall or open borders, if that's our only choices, shit is not going to get done.
Yeah, because black and white don't argue together. It's just all the gray people.
Well, I mean, we see. What do they get done? What really gets accomplished now?
Not really much.
They had an immigration deal, but Ann Coulter fucking bitched about it, and Trump walked away from it. A fucking loud voice. Mm. He would have had $25 billion for his wall. And all he had to do was give the fucking Dreamers a path to citizenship. Ann Coulter bitched and moaned, called him a sellout. That was the end of it. One loud fucking extreme voice. I mean, that's just one example of it.
Yeah, well, and that's
most
him.
Most Americans are like, yeah, give the Dreamers a path to citizenship. And, we certainly need stronger immigration, this, that, the other thing. Most normal Americans can find compromise, mm-hmm. Where everybody gives a little bit and gets some. If you just have the right and the left, the far right and the far left, you don't have that anymore. Then you have what you heard on the Democratic convention debates. Okay, we're going to give illegal immigrants, they're all going to get health care. You know what? You could say that to the far left. You're not going to win an election with that.
No.
But there's no incentive for them to, which is why Trump only plays to his base. Yeah, because you got all this shit going on. Trump doesn't have to come to the center like every other president did, like W jog to the center a little bit, like Obama jog to the center a little bit. Mm-hmm. Of course, you have people, the other opposite party, saying, no, they're the worst thing ever. I get that.
Yeah.
But you're seeing what happens now if there's no incentive to work together. And the Democrats want to see this president fail. The far left, they don't want him to have any accomplishments.
Right.
Just like the far right didn't want Obama to have any accomplishments. Mm-hmm. So you go, well, people are getting fed up because shit's not getting done. And you're right. You're one of those people. But we have no power.
There's nothing we can do to change that.
Right.
And
the court just reinforced that.
It's ridiculous that we have all of Congress and the president and nothing's getting accomplished. And this happens administration after administration, where there's just these standstills.
Since Clinton, it's gotten hyperpartisan.
So they based their decision on this, basically, with no plausible grant of authority in the Constitution, and no legal standards to limit and direct their decisions. Let me repeat this: and no legal standards to limit and direct their decisions. Now, let's say, well, we got to fix this. Why don't we put together some legal standards, write up a bill with legal legislation
mm-hmm.
for legal standards, and we go by these legal standards to direct the decisions of districting. Where would you start with that, and where would you go with that?
You're not going to get it because there's no incentive. Because the people who
but,
do,
what I'm, what
but the people
but
in charge
I'm,
of that aren't going to do
what
it.
I'm say, but what I'm saying is, let's say, for example, they were.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And let's look at the whole country as a whole and the districts. Where would you start with that to get the standards
always said it should be geographic.
But,
you just cut a state into fucking sections. Yeah. But however the state, and you do it, and you do it geometrically.
Could you say that this will be the law of the land?
Yes.
On these?
Yes.
And
Congress,
how would you get that? And how would you go? And I'm not being
Congress would have
here.
To draft it. And a president would have to okay it. But yeah, it could be done. There's no incentive for them to do it, though, because all they care about is their jobs. They're not going to do it. But yes, it should be geographic. It makes no sense how you could just cut out certain people because you don't want them to vote in your election. It makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, limiting people's ability to vote in any way seems to be
And this falls under the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
But so, anyway, I don't agree with that decision. You don't agree with the decision. Joe seems to be wishy-washy on it. So we'll move on. We'll do some School of Fools.
Around the rosy, bucket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fools. I got so many School of Fools stories. Can't get to them all, but I will at some point. So this is an interesting one. A teacher was fired over trying to report illegal immigrants directly to President Trump.
he's got to know.
There's no steps in between.
I know every time I want him to know something.
There's no steps.
Nope.
There are none. There are none.
One call does it all.
Slide into his DMs. At least that's what this teacher thought. So a Texas school board unanimously voted to fire a teacher who tried to report undocumented students in her school district to President Donald Trump through a series of public tweets that she thought were private messages to the president. Stupid.
It's that easy.
The Fort Worth Independent School District voted 8-0 to terminate the employment of Georgia Clark at a special meeting. She still has an opportunity to appeal the vote. Clark, an English teacher at Amon Carter Riverside High School, tweeted that the school she worked at had been taken over by illegal students from Mexico and that Trump was elected on the promise that a wall would be built to protect our borders. Well, he also said Mexico will pay for it, but that wasn't in the tweet. She also referred to illegals in her tweets. The tweet started gaining attention on social media last week, and Clark's account was deleted May 29th. She was placed on administrative leave after the school district became aware of them. According to district documents, Clark told an investigator she thought the tweets were direct messages to Trump and didn't know they were public. Stupid. Clark has obviously been investigated for similar. Clark had previously been investigated for similar comments, according to district records obtained by NBC Dallas-Fort Worth. She was suspended in 2013 after she allegedly referred to a group of students as Little Mexico.
Yeah.
Like a professional wrestler. Hey, come into the ring. It's Little Mexico. And another student as white bread. Clark is also under investigation after she allegedly told a student to show me your papers. You are illegal. After the student asked for permission to use the bathroom. Got to build a wall around the toilets, Joe.
Well, there's stalls.
The stalls.
Yeah, but to even get to the stall.
They can just sneak right under those things. You've seen those bathroom
stalls.
They'll
dig right under, Joe.
The
Hispanic student population in Fort Worth Independent School District is nearly 63%. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reported that about 88% of the students at the school Clark had been teaching are Hispanic. I agree with the school board's decision.
Oh, yeah.
She had to go. Joe?
Yeah, she did. Look, if you are that concerned that there are that many undocumented kids there and it's a problem, you go to the proper authorities.
Well, you go to the top, Joe. Take it right to the top.
I always go to the top radar. But you don't tweet Trump. You don't call kids white bread. You don't. If somebody wants to go to the bathroom, you don't call them illegal. So, you know, she's stupid. Maybe her intentions are right.
I feel like,
but she's stupid.
I feel like maybe she could have kept her job if there hadn't been other disciplinary incidents. Like, if this was the first time, you know, you suspend her, you fucking, you know, the sensitivity training, maybe she gets to hold on to her job.
That's possible, but it's like she doesn't learn.
No, she doesn't.
But you know what? Teachers are very cautious.
Not this one. Not any ones we cover.
Of course, because if they were following the rules, there'd be a boring segment, you imbecile.
I'm not the imbecile. You're the one that said they're very cautious.
No, I'm making a general statement. And obviously, people try to drive responsibly. But there are assholes that go all over the road and cause problems. But what I'm saying is teachers generally, you know, the teachers I know, usually run, you know, they don't say anything. You don't,
But she thought it was a private message.
But
she thought she was talking to the big DT.
I'm not defending her, you asshole. She's a moron. But what I'm saying, she's a moron. I mean, she felt there was a lot of kids that were there illegally, then you responsibly call the authorities and keep it on the download. You don't broadcast it.
How about talking to the school board first if you think
issue? I'm going to make the argument to defend her, not that I want to defend her. But since 9/11, it's been drilled into our heads, see something, say something. Now, that had to do with terrorists, brown children, per se. But
they're very suspicious.
But, I mean, in a sense, she saw something. She said something.
Yeah,
but a lot of times, you know, obviously it's the way you go about something.
Yes.
You know, there are a lot of times.
Well, you tell me all the time this is a different type of presidency. She thought this was the proper way. You couldn't DM Obama, but Trump seems to like the Twitter.
Not like Trump's sitting around like the Maytag repairman looking for something to do and stupid tweet. Oh,
well, wait a second,
today.
Joe.
Oh,
it's very often it does seem like he's sitting around like the Maytag repairman on an American Standard toilet with parts you might have sold. Just tweeting away, waiting for somebody. I'm surprised he didn't fucking respond. Thanks for the report. I'm going to give you the Medal of Honor. You're a good American. It could have happened.
You're a great American.
Straighter shit's happened, you know?
Yes.
Why not?
Yes.
But here's the thing. The question is, should teachers try to alert authorities when they think there's illegal students, or a school need to be such a safe place that in order for a school to be a school, a child, no matter where they come from, no matter the situation that they're here, they have to know unconditionally that the teachers are on their side and they're safe. I kind of think you have to establish that in a school. That's a special protected zone. Like, as long as the kids aren't hurting anybody.
Right.
You know,
I feel like they should lean more towards paying attention to teaching the kids whatever kids are presented to them than worrying about their status.
Yeah. I just think a school has to be a safe space, Joe. I think it does. I think there's other people in the community who can fucking do their reporting if they want. But if you're going to get the most out of any kids,
yeah,
they have to feel
safe there.
Yeah. And as long as they're here, however they got here, you want them to get the most. You want them to be educated. It's better for everybody. The more knowledge, the better behaved these kids are. And there's no indication these kids were problems.
Well, absolutely. It seems like people have a lot of problems with any immigrant coming in and not knowing English. Well, here they are in school trying to learn English. Isn't that a good thing?
No, they're here illegally. When do we draw the line on this stuff?
Not at school. You can draw the place to draw the line. Listen, if it's MS-13 and a student's MS-13 and they're causing problems, all right, you can report. Again, I wouldn't go to the president directly, but if you want to report that to the authorities, go ahead. But the chain of command says at first you should tell the principal.
I would think.
The principal then would maybe take it to the school board, and then the school board would decide whether they're going to escalate this to the authorities.
Or if you felt like it was whatever it is enough of an issue that and the principal is ignoring you, then you go to the school board.
Right.
There's always a hierarchy for a reason.
I agree with you. The teacher should really just focus on the fucking teaching.
Yeah.
Just fucking teach. Don't worry about the other shit. There's plenty of other people worrying about the other shit.
And teaching is so hard already. There's so much to do.
Well, I mean, you got to make time for your lessons plans. You got to get supplies. Got to make time to direct message the president. It's hard to balance a busy schedule.
But it seems like if she's saying that previously that her school is being overtaken by the brown people, that she has a bigger problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they probably gave her the retraining, gave her another fucking chance. And
I mean, if she
also these people come in, you know, you get your school taxes paying for people that are undocumented.
These people are paying taxes.
But still, you should be concerned that there are people that are, you know.
No, but they're paying taxes. If they're living here, they're paying taxes. They're supporting the school district, property tax, sales tax. They're paying taxes.
Yeah, so it's not a matter that
but
they're
you
taking.
You are breaking the law.
I understand. If they're here illegally.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know.
You are breaking the law.
I understand that, but is it her job? She's a teacher, not law enforcement.
All right. If she saw somebody stealing something, which she said would
but now some, but now somebody
breaking the law.
But now somebody's being harmed. Somebody's
taking a globe. The globe's being harmed. Somebody's stealing. Should she say something?
But that's
illegal.
It's a different issue. You know, I mean, like there's, you don't tweet the president because you saw somebody jump over the turnstile. You know what I mean? You know that you.
Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. You can't tweet De Blasio either. He didn't give a shit either.
He's out campaigning. Leave him alone. Leave the man alone. He's got shit to do. He's got other Democrats to scream over. He should be happy. He's not in town.
He's got other Democrats to scream over. He can't be bothered with this shit in town.
He should be happy. He's not around.
What do you think we have a lieutenant?
It's like when Trump leaves the country. I feel better. You should be happy. De Blasio left the fucking city. Breathe deep. Enjoy, Joe. All right. So here we go. A 13-year-old New Jersey boy faces assault charges for allegedly attacking the mother of a classmate. The classmate reported him to school officials for anti-immigrant taunts, the Passaic County Prosecutor's Office said in a media release. The mother, identified as Veronica Ruiz by her attorney, Daniel Santiago, told authorities she was walking down the street in Passaic, New Jersey, with her 1-year-old baby and her 12-year-old son on June 19th when she and her son were attacked. Santiago told CNN that the conflict began at school the day before the attack when the 13-year-old and some other boys chanted, "Go back to Mexico," to a group of students in the cafeteria. Ruiz's son, who is an American citizen, replied, "What are you talking about? We all come from immigrants," the attorney said. The group allegedly threatened to beat up the boy after school. This scared Ruiz's son, so he pulled one of the teachers aside and conveyed his fear, according to Santiago. The teacher called a security guard who then sequestered Ruiz's son in a classroom for the duration of the school day for his own safety. Later that day, Ruiz picked up her son from school. As they were walking home, Ruiz's son said to her, "Mommy, the boys that threatened me yesterday are following us." They kept walking, but the three boys caught up to them The attorney said. Santiago told CNN that the 13-year-old punched Ruiz's son in the face, knocking him to the ground. Can you imagine your kid get laid out?
I would go crazy.
Ruiz then put herself between her son and the assailant, asking him to leave them alone, the attorney said. He swore at her, then punched Ruiz in the face, Santiago said. When the mother stepped in front of the boy, he struck her, causing her to temporarily lose consciousness and fall to the sidewalk. If you guys watched the video, she was in bad shape. The statement from the prosecutor's office said, the three boys then fled the scene. Ruiz called the police after she regained consciousness, and she was treated at a nearby hospital for facial fractures and a concussion. Her son suffered a swollen lip. The 13-year-old was charged with aggravated assault and later released to his parents. He has not been identified because he's a minor. There is no court date as of yet, said Jason Harding, chief assistant prosecutor at the Passaic County Prosecutor's Office. If convicted, he could face 2 years in juvenile delinquency, juvenile detention. Ruiz's physical injuries are starting to heal, and the pain is starting to fade, but she's terrified. The emotional scar was the biggest issue. Santiago said parents of the other children have since called him and told him their children have also been bullied by the group of kids. I'm going to start off by saying I don't think the school reacted properly by sequestering the kid who's getting bullied.
Yeah, no.
No. You make an example of the kids that are doing the bullying. Hey, we're getting a report here. We're going to bring him in here. What the hell's going on? This better not happen. You don't cordon off the kid because eventually school ends.
Right.
You got to threaten these kids. Go, listen, we're going to call your parents in and we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Right.
Because if I find out you're suspended, you know, whatever it is, you don't pull aside the kid
that's being threatened.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand that.
Yeah. Why is he not getting his education? He's put in a room by himself for the day. For the day. What good did that do?
I feel like that was handled badly.
Yes.
I don't remember Latinos and immigrants being the target of such bullying when we went to school.
Well, first of all, there weren't as many, number one. But number two, I think that in general, that race issues have increased tremendously since we went to school.
And FBI statistics show it's really gone up the past couple of years.
Yeah, it has.
Hate crimes have gone through the roof.
Yeah, they've gone through the roof. And so these fucking punks think that it's okay to beat up a kid in front of his mother and then beat up the mother?
Yeah, see, that's it. Like, as a kid, it never crossed my mind to lay out a parent.
it crossed my mind, but I never acted.
No, but I mean, you got, like, listen, I was a boy. I got in fucking fist fights. I never thought, and now we're going to lay out mom. Yes. I mean, the fight was the fight.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Occasionally you had to worry about a big brother jumping in.
But it's like even having the nerve to do it in front of the mother.
Yeah. Usually when the parents are, be cool. Everybody, both sides, be cool, man. Be cool.
We'll get him at school. You know,
but like even the one who was about to get his ass kicked, he's like, be cool.
Right.
So you don't want to get the parents involved in this
right.
shit.
Yeah, what I find interesting here is the school is the Passaic Gifted and Talented Academy. And like these group of bullies, I wonder if these bullies went to this school.
Yes, they went to the school.
Now you would think in a gifted and talented, a school with gifted and talented children, where they would have a hatred like that.
Well, maybe the gifts and talents come from the fine sweet arts, Joe.
You know?
Of boxing.
But
the sweet science.
But still, where they would have that, you know?
I'll tell you where they would have it. From their fucking parents. That's where they got it from. They got it from their parents. Because I'll tell you, because I'm very cognizant. Listen, my hatred, at this point I hate him. My feelings about Trump have significantly gotten worse as it's gone on. You know, I never liked him, but when he got elected, I said I'll give him a chance. Certain things, I'd give him a benefit of the doubt. I've seen enough of this guy. I know exactly what this guy is, and my opinion's not going to change on this guy. If he does something I like, I'll still give him credit for doing the thing I like. I'm not going to be unfair. But my daughter was growing up. I was very careful not to, quote-unquote, poison her mind with stuff about the president, what he says. Or anything. Like, now a little, she's more aware because I guess some of the kids at school tell her. So now I'm a little bit, I don't really like him because of this, that, the other. But, you know, to me, it sounds like, I'm going to use the same word, these kids' minds, the bullies' minds, were poisoned by their parents.
Sure.
I mean, because you don't just go, 13-year-olds just don't go back to Mexico from nowhere.
Right.
You know, I hate you because of something. That happens a lot. But usually racism and bigotry, you learn that shit.
You learn that.
And I think
that
comes from the president. I think it comes from the president. But I think it comes from the parents in this case.
Right.
So, Joe, I don't think it was at the school. I think that was, these might be very bright kids, but they certainly learned intolerance and bigotry and hatred from somewhere And I'm going to say it, the home life.
But, you know, you can have very intelligent people that are also racist.
It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to find intelligent racists.
But it happens.
Yes, but I would say they're not really that intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard for me to find somebody that I really respect their intellectual level that's a racist.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I don't respect them. I mean,
because once you tell me somebody's better than something just based on race, I kind of go, yeah, you're not really that bright. Because there's so many things that say otherwise.
And the kid is actually an American citizen.
The kid's an American citizen. But again, you know, it's a 13. He's not learning. He's learning brown, go back to Mexico.
Yeah.
That shit's on the news.
Yeah.
It's from one guy and one party. Yeah. But
well, slow down. Slow down with that, okay? Basically, it's from you have two parties on that. You have one party that's saying, we're trying to crack down on this stuff. And then you have another party saying, no, come on in. You're not illegal. You're undocumented. So there gets to a point where on both sides, enough is enough. Now, clearer heads should prevail. But if you have a bigoted mind, you are going to have your children permeated in that thought. So it's not just one party. It's what's going on in America right now.
No, but I'm talking about the anti-immigration thing. And before these Democratic debates, no Democrat was saying open borders. Now with these Democratic debates, a few of them are. You go, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Those people have to be weeded out.
So it's basically,
and well, there's 24 of them. It'll happen.
But okay, so basically, it's a condition on this. Now, what these kids did was, you know, it's horrible, a horrible thing. So it's an effect of the way things are right now, which, you know, could be better. It's up to the parent. It's up to the parents to let them, you know, educate, like David said, not to let his personal feelings come through, but the kid, you know, just, you know, the parents to around the kids, at least, you know, just, you know, lay low and, you know, try to keep your personal opinions away. That's something that might sway your children. Let your kids make their own decisions, you know, on that. And to bully, obviously they're ignorant because the kid is actually illegal, you know, is a legal
Well, the
citizen.
Kid should have been like the teacher and asked for the papers.
A citizen and also hitting the parent.
Oh, my God.
So it's an absolute horrible thing. I do agree with you where instead of isolating the child, these kids should have been rounded up.
Yeah.
And disciplined and thought. But sometimes
we're going to play dodgeball. We're going to tie you up.
But you know what?
We'll throw balls at you.
Maybe the principal asked the boy who was doing this. Maybe he was afraid to say. Maybe he was afraid of that.
No,
maybe
but this kid wasn't afraid. The kid said. The kid went to the teacher. These people are threatening me.
Okay.
Kid was not afraid.
Then it's on the principal.
I mean, that's
handle this
that's
problem.
The way it was always handled when we were in school. It's like if somebody was start saying, "I'm going to fight you." I mean, usually the kids wouldn't tell because
I don't remember anybody telling.
No,
yeah.
But I mean, if you said, "This kid's picking on me." Off to the principal's office with everybody to sort it out.
It was both, both parties. What is going on? You're not doing it. You better not do it because then I'm calling your parents. And nobody wanted the parents.
You want to know something without going into detail? There's been a couple of situations I've been privy to where when something happens in like that.
Was the teacher DMing you because they couldn't get Trump?
No, but.
Well, that's part of the hierarchy.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to the Trump Whisperer. Donald's not responding.
You got
to
call Ice Dear. You know, he ain't going to listen. I can't do nothing. He ain't going to, you know, you got to call Ice. But sometimes legally, sometimes the school is very shaky on what they can do and what they can't do because they don't want to get sued by even if these kids are being portrayed as the bully. You know, they don't want to get sued.
But it seemed like that was not the case. They brought in the security guard. They acted. We just think they acted wrongly.
Yeah. And I mean, in what planet, if somebody's going, I'm going to beat you up, is it okay?
Well,
to
did he say that? Did he really mean
Well, that's
to
why
say
you bring
that?
The kids in.
To the had that, you know, right. Well, if we bring the kids, are the parents going to be calling me?
That's why you bring the parents in.
You know, it.
Hey, that's the gig.
Schools are afraid of hurting anybody's feelings or tiptoeing on anybody. And
there's more of that.
I'm being the devil's advocate of what might have happened. You know, we're looking, well, why didn't he call? Oh, we're looking at a couple of reasons why maybe this happened. Okay, should they have acted and should they have resolved this with the bully? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't know what. Here's what might have happened.
Right.
Which, you know,
and that's wrong-headed,
and
what, too, if that's why they did it.
Situations that I've been privy to, this is what goes on when you have to bring two sides
and
kids in and stuff.
Leadership
like that.
Demands courage. And I was, you know, you have to make tough choices when you're a leader.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, bad things are going to happen, but worse things happen if you act wrongly.
Yeah.
You make the call. All right, let's do a curmudgeonly philosophy. We haven't done one of those in ages.
You wondered about it. You waited for it. And now it's here. Curmudgeon Philosophy with Pip Helix.
All right, lay it on us, woman.
All right, well, this is a page out of the book that we wrote this past weekend. When they ask you on a plane to allow people with connecting flights to get off first, sit in your goddamn chair and wait.
That doesn't seem curmudgeonly. That seems like common damn sense, right?
That
there.
Should be common damn sense.
But they didn't ask on our flight.
No, they did.
And they did on our flight?
Yes, and people were standing in the aisle.
When did
blocking
they ask that?
The
I didn't hear that.
I heard them ask.
Boy, you really were off duty. Usually you're directing the flight.
Well, I had a I knew I had a marathon to run. Oh, we weren't going to get that flight, mister.
Well, you're a busy coordinator.
I'm stretching.
He's very different off the clock, isn't he?
No, he's
patient
not.
Patient and so real.
No, no.
No, he's a prick.
No, no.
No matter
no.
what's going on.
Ready to go.
I'm getting bullied.
Vacation, tour.
Ready to go, directing traffic, marching ahead. We have an itinerary, people, go.
No. I most certainly was not.
No. I'm kidding you.
No, he'll believe it.
Oh, I know. No.
When I have to straighten shit out, I straighten it out.
No. Yeah.
This time I had to run. There was no shit to straighten. I had to fucking run without pulling a hamstring.
There you go.
No. See, everybody's just so full of themselves and me, and what I want. I got to get to the bathroom. I got to get a coffee. There's people who always, the way the flights go now, there's always people that have a connecting flight, and now they have to run like pre-murderous O.J. Simpson to get across the terminal to get to their goddamn flight.
Yeah,
so
that was
sit
me.
In your chair. Every time they announce it, everybody's up.
See, no, I
sit
people
in your
sit down.
Goddamn
I'll
chair.
Down.
I'll sit down. It's like, oh my God, those people are never going to get to Dallas. I will sit my ass down because I have.
No, if they
I
get
am,
the convertible, it might be better. They don't
because well, people are getting less considerate. If, like, if you're on a plane, funny, but if
it's
you're
a little late now, just fucking hung
right,
there.
All right. yeah, but
can't
that
do a
you know
the assassination joke anymore.
All right, we get it. All right, but so
I don't think she did.
He got it.
He did.
But yeah, you know, if you go let the people get it because we've all been in that position.
Everybody's
so
been there.
If you're not if you have the luxury where you don't have to go, let the people get up, get their shit, get off the plane. Don't stand up and get in the way, assholes.
I know. Well, that's the thing is that everyone has become me. It's all about me, asshole.
Yeah.
At every place, and I'm just saying that it's. It's us against them in the airplane, in the airport, on the airline. They are screwing things up. They are waiting to go here. They're, oh, we got a taxi some more. We got to circle the airport another time. No, you're messing us up. You guys came up with these stupid schedules. You give us hardly any time to run across the terminal as it is. And now you're going to mess it up by being late. And it's like, at least what we could do together is if you know somebody's got a flight they got to get to and you have 2 hours to sit at the airplane bar, give the fucking people a chance.
Yeah, especially if you got hit, you know, if there was an issue with weather or something like that. You've got a plane that's literally just sitting there waiting for these people.
Yeah.
You know, for the connecting
flight.
You
know, and when they say there's a connecting flight to San Francisco or whatever, and these people got to hustle.
Yeah. I don't think they said that on our flight.
Well, they did. They did say it was low
maybe
key.
After I'd already left.
They didn't say anything about,
what,
you know.
Did you jump out of the plane in a parachute?
Kinda.
Not far from the truth.
Not far. Not far. And I do think that it was really rude of him to push that old lady on oxygen back down into her seat to get past her. But I understand why he did it.
Why? She had a medical alert. She'll be fine.
Yeah. Nana's in the way.
I'm just saying it's so obnoxious because they did say they weren't like, okay, these people have no time to do it. A lot of planes I've been on, they say that. They're like, all right, these people, you know, they really have to like hustle to get to their, so sit your ass down.
Yeah.
Aisles are full of fucking people. They're not all in that flight.
Usually, if I don't have a connecting flight or anything, and people get on, I usually just wait, you know. I just wait it out because I don't feel
I want to get off that fucking plane. But if somebody has a connecting flight, if they make that announcement, I'll sit down. I don't need to.
Yeah.
But other than that, I can't wait to get the fuck
but
off the plane.
But you know what?
I don't mind because basically, I don't want to get up, barrel ass through people like I'm on the fucking subway, get through so I could sit by the baggage carousel and shove a thumb up my ass.
Oh, I want to get my bag. I want to get the fuck out.
But the fucking bag ain't even there yet. So
but I'll be the first one to get my bag.
I usually like to get the whole swarm out, walk out like a gentleman.
No.
Yep.
By the time I get to the carousel, my shit's there.
Out of all the places in the world, that's the place you're going to be a gentleman?
Yeah, actually, because I'm not going to go ass over tea kettle to be the first out so I can stick a thumb in my ass by the baggage carousel.
That doesn't sound like a gentlemanly thing to do.
You know, I leave, I get my shit, I walk out, and then my stuff's coming out in the baggage carousel.
Good, thank God for people like you. I wish there was more like you.
Yeah, he's demure.
Isolate that. Boy, he's getting tired.
The airport's a special place.
Late night, yeah.
Starting to wind down.
Mellowing out. All right. Monopoly, the beloved board game known for teaching players basic money principles, has a new lesson to teach. Cash is so yesteryear. Toy company Hasbro, which makes the game, recently announced a digital version that does away with the classic paper money and adds a voice assistant to manage all the buying and selling. Instead of handling the familiar pink, blue, and orange banknotes, players can press a button atop the at the center of the board to access digital Mr. Monopoly, a nod to the game mascot traditionally known as Rich Uncle Pennybags, to purchase property or pay rent. Say a command like pay rent on Marvin Gardens, reads a description of the game. Mr. Monopoly will respond and move the payment for an opponent's account. The game will be available for purchase starting July 1st, and it already came out. It may be pre-ordered from Target and Walmart for around $30. But dispensing with paper money seems like a natural twist these days, given the popularity of e-commerce and some retailers decline to accept cash. Meanwhile, handling control of Monopoly bucks to a computer could presumably discourage cheating by aspiring real estate moguls tempted to pocket an extra $500 or $2. In the real world, cashless policies remain contentious. Proponents say ditching notes cuts time and costs associated with managing money, while detractors say that discriminates against lower-income Americans. San Francisco, Philadelphia, and New Jersey all have banned brick-and-mortar retailers from refusing to take cash. I don't like that Monopoly's going cashless.
I don't either.
I think we're losing the educational value.
Well, you got to remember, they're not phasing out the old Monopoly game. This is a new version. It's just a digital edition. So you have the option to get
But kids are going to gravitate to the talking one.
Well, you want to know something? I mean, that's the way we're going. I mean, look, I'm stubborn as a mule. And
mules are offended, by the way.
Very funny. So I'm as stubborn as a mule, and I used to write checks for everything. And I finally am starting to do everything digitally, you know. And to the fact is, my homeowners association, I pay by check every month. It's the only check I write. So I was speaking to one of the guys with the association, you know, which I was talking about a couple of things. And one of the things I mentioned is I'm going to write to the homeowners association to do a thing. I go, can we do an electronic transfer? When can we do electronic transfer? Because I had to order checks, and the only check I write is to these guys. So I'm laying out $25 in checks.
Yeah.
I'm the only one writing. So it's getting to that point, and believe me moving along with technology, I'm slow as a snail. If I'm going, all right, look, you gotta set up electronic transfer. It's the way we're going.
Kids need to know how to. It's a good education to account money, responsibility, the property. You know, that's one of the first kids' ways to learn responsibility.
They learn about
making your friend go bankrupt. There's nothing better.
But if they want to run a merch table, how are they going to figure out?
Exactly.
How are they going to do that?
I'm going to press Mr. Moneybags in the head.
Right.
Well, see, this kind of harkens back to one of your beloved memes on Facebook. Well, Davin hates memes, but one of them was about, there's this old grandma standing in front of a garden, and it says, you know why your grandmother was able to, get through the Depression? Because she could make food, she could sew clothing, they knew how to do shit. We're getting into becoming a society that doesn't know how to do anything.
How am I going to be a slumlord owner if I don't know how to count my cash?
Well, I'm just saying that, if we had, an energy crisis and all the electronic things shut down, there are going to be some people hard-pressed to figure out how to survive.
Very true.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying,
Well, like I said, it's they're not phasing out the old version of the game. This is just an option. So it's up to the, parents or the people buying it to decide which way they want to go with it. I mean, if you're buying it for a kid, maybe you want to buy the old style of game just so they learn those skills. If you are a parent that feels like, well, this is the way everything is going, maybe they should get used to it, you buy the electric style of game. That's up to the person buying the game.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand. I mean,
I'm not going to protest them like it's a sneaker company. I don't give a shit. I just don't like it.
No, what I'm saying is then you don't like it, then you will buy the version that.
Yes, I will.
The money.
Yes, I will.
Paper money. Yeah.
I just think it's a shame because, because you know, as we have gone over, they're not going to teach analog clocks in school anymore. You know, we're not going to be, you know, using paper money.
You're not writing in cursive anymore. Thank
yeah,
God.
You're not writing in cursive. I mean, there are things that, you know, there are older skills that are going away. Some of them you can argue we don't really need that anymore. But then there are a lot of things that they think people just simply don't know how to do. We're like helpless.
Yeah, I think counting money is important.
Yeah, it's still a skill that you
One
need
of my
to
favorite
have.
Things.
Sure. Yes. Nobody can count change like you.
I just like the green stuff, though.
All right. We'll do some Ann Jackson when we come back. On the break, we got new music from Nadia with Amore and Be Infinite with Midnight Train. We'll be right back. Oh, you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. Now we'll be right back.